There are several things I know about every person in this room. I know that every single one of us is going to die. I know that every one of us wants, during the time we have to live well. And I know that every single one of us is tempted to live not well at all. No matter who we are, no matter what we believe, no matter how weak or strong we think ourselves to be, everybody here is struggling with something, facing some significant temptation or some storm of temptations. We know that about each other because to be human means to be tested. To be human is always to have options. Maybe not nearly as many options as we wish we had, but to have real choices to make. Options to do worthier things or to do cheaper things. Options to become somehow better persons or to become somehow smaller persons. To be human rightly is to be on a personal journey on our way toward maturity. But at every turn on this journey, we're faced with real decisions about whether to regress and become less than we are, or to fixate and get stuck where we are, or actually to move on in new forms of obedience and faith that grow us up. And the choices we have to negotiate that actually determine what we're becoming are constant and they are real. And the cumulative consequences of these choices are irrevocably real. The New Testament word for these real options is a Greek word that means literally facing the fire. Our English translation of that word is always either the word testing or the word temptation. Jesus of Nazareth was human. And so like every one of us, he had to face the fire to make hard choices that would have real consequences about who he became. Matthew presents Jesus as being free, having to make genuine decisions. Jesus was human. And Jesus was tempted. Do you take any comfort at all in the fact that Jesus the Christ faced temptation just as you do and just as I do? Do you take at least this comfort? To say that Jesus was tempted is to remember that being tempted is not a sinful thing. It's just a human thing. To feel the pressure in your life between good and evil is not a sin. It's a sign. A sign that you are free to choose. To choose good or to choose evil. Second comfort I take in the fact that Jesus was tempted is a comfort that also scares me to death. For what this means is that it's not just the lowest, weakest, and meanest part of me that will be tempted. It's also the highest, strongest, and noblest parts of me that are going to have to make hard choices. These choices may be the fiercest I ever face. They may be the deadliest choices I ever make. What's more, our testing not only never stops, but the more we grow. If we grow, the more mature we become. If we grow mature, the more complicated, the more difficult and enormously dangerous our temptations may be. No matter how much we think we've learned about ourselves by now, none of us can afford to be careless or to be smug about our souls. None of us can assume that we are safe if we are being faithful at all. It may well be that the hardest test for us is yet to come. The testing Jesus faced was a higher altitude than those of us who live down here in the canyons. I won't say much today about Jesus' particular temptations, because what he went through, as recounted in Matthew, seems alien to us, even incomprehensible. I've never fasted for 40 days. I've never had a longing to take stones and somehow turn them into bread for myself. We've never been tempted to literally bow down to Satan so that we might have all the kingdoms of this world to give to God. We've never been tempted to jump off the tops of temples to prove who we are or to show how much God loves us. I don't want to talk much today about the specific temptations of Jesus. I'd rather talk to you about my temptations and about yours. What does the tempter come whispering to you these days? How are you tempted to regress and become less than you are, or to fixate and become stuck where you are instead of growing on to what God has called you to be? If this weren't Jesus' story, but yours, if you wrote down, "I was in the wilderness and the evil one came to me and urged me three times to make a false choice," what three would you write down that are most personally yours? Would one of them be some temptation of the appetite, an inclination to satisfy yourself wrongly, to store up for yourself more money, more food, more clothes, more house, and more stuff than you have any right to keep for yourself, when Christ has called us to travel light on our way and to trust God for our needs and to live more in the service of the hungry and the poor than of ourselves? The devil comes and whispers many lies to us about what we need to be satisfied and secure. Maybe one of the severest tests we face these days is the temptation of appetite. Or would one of your greatest tests be the temptation in some form to despair, sinking into cynicism about the world, casting stones always at other people when God has called you to look at your world with more generous eyes and to look at others with kindness and hope? Or giving up on yourself in some way, ceasing to try, no longer reaching down for the best part of who you are, but collapsing into some kind of hopelessness, settling for half a life, settling for personal cowardice, or giving up in some way on God, praying too small, or not praying at all anymore, giving up the daily fight for faith that is honest and alive, collapsing into self-pity or self-reliance, seeking no longer the presence of the living God. There are many forms of the great temptation to despair. And I wonder if one of your greatest temptations might be the one C.S. Lewis called the greatest treason: to do the right thing for the wrong reason. This is the temptation of motive. For example, attending to other people, not for the sake of meeting their needs, really, but for getting our own needs met. Or claiming to want the best for others, our children, our spouse, our friend, even a stranger, but in fact relating to them from a position of control and management, to keep them in our hands instead of releasing them to their freedom. We're distancing ourselves from all kinds of evil and doing good things, even brave things, but doing them more for our own sense of self-superiority than for the sake of love. How fierce is the fire when we finally face the temptation of motive. Now, in naming these, I don't know that I've named yours. In speaking of the temptations of appetite, of despair, and of motive, I may not have touched on your deepest, greatest test these days. But I can think of no better discipline during these days of Lent, during these 40 days of facing ourselves in the wilderness, than to be very, very clear about the gravest tests that we are facing. I would even want to suggest to you that sometime later today, or sometime later this week, you actually write it down. In these days in my wilderness, the evil one has come and whispered to me, and my greatest temptations now as I know them are. And name them. It's important that we know their names. But how do you survive them? Where will you find the wisdom and the courage to make choices for life and for growth and for obedience instead of choices for death? Instead of choices for stagnation and regression and disobedience? I don't have a simple answer or a quick fix for how you face your temptations. But what I do have, and what we have together, is the model of how Jesus found His wisdom and His courage. He had filled His mind and His heart with words of Scripture, their wisdom and their courage. And in His moment of need, He found them. Three times the devil comes to Him with options. Three times there rises to the mind of Jesus some word from the Word of God. Three times He finds some way of saying, "It is written." And by these words, He keeps walking on. Now, He didn't have a Bible with Him. I don't think He walked into the desert lugging scrolls in His arms with a concordance to look up the answers. Also, don't know whether these words came to Him quickly out there once His test began. Who knows how many minutes or how many hours, or even how many days of struggle it took before the word distilled in His mind and came to clear focus to Him as His answer. We don't know. What we do know is that He had stored such words into His mind, and when He faced the rigors of His testing, they rose up to meet Him like a hand and became an answer. One day I was walking through the desert. The devil came up to me and presented me with a fierce and complicated test. So I looked deep down inside myself, and here is what I found. A stack of People magazines, some old episodes of the Seinfeld TV show, some great ESPN SportsCenter highlights, a few tunes by the Temptations, and a telephone number for Domino's Pizza. What's all that doing in there? Where is the rest of what I needed? Do you know how much it matters what you store into your spirit? What you gaze upon and reflect upon? What you read? What you think? What you give yourself to remember for the rest of your life? I'm not saying, please don't misunderstand, I am not saying keep to the religious stuff. Because plenty of what passes in our time for religious literature and music will make you just as shallow as the National Enquirer will. And plenty of what we call secular literature, and music and art and drama and film, can take you to the very gates of God. I'm not saying keep yourself isolated inside a God talk world. I am saying it matters very much what you put inside your spirit. See to it that it is true, that it has depth, and that it will sustain you. I'm saying to you as well what I am confident our text would have us hear, that the disciplined reading and reflecting upon Scripture is indispensable for us if we are to survive our testing. The Bible in your hand is food for your hungry spirit. It's light where you are confused. It's strength for your weakness. Listen, the Bible is not a good luck charm. It's not a collection of little moralisms. It's not the voice of your mother. And it's not a little religious duty that we have. It is a rope thrown down for us to pull ourselves out by. It is our memory. It is the calling of our true names. It speaks living words from the living God to the real lives we are living under fire. I urge you, in the name of Christ, in the name of countless saints who have survived their testing, read this book. Read it daily and read it deeply. Learn it, pray it, and plant it inside your life like a seed. Don't do it for what it will give you today or for how it will make you feel this instant. Do it because a day will come for you when you will need a memory and a word and a light to see by. Final word. There's one thing that Jesus did that we must never, ever do. He was in his desert by himself. We don't need to do that. Get somebody to go at least part way with you through your testing. Now, I can tell you that Jesus is already there with you in your wilderness, that he understands that you could call on him for help and find it, and I'd be telling the truth. But what I'm afraid of is that when many of us think we're calling on Jesus, what we're mostly doing in our time of testing is talking to ourselves. So I will call you as he has called us to find a brother or to find a sister who will be for you the face of Jesus, to keep you honest and to give you strength. Most of us need a face to be for us in times of testing, the face of Jesus. It's no accident that the New Testament refers to the community of faith as the very body of Christ in the world. Don't keep your temptations a secret. Find someone who will hear you and help you tell the truth. Find someone who knows what it means to pray for someone in need. I said a moment ago that Jesus went in alone. That's not quite true. Matthew says he went in with the Holy Spirit. You and I find that Spirit between us when we covenant together to live lives of faith together. I don't know how much courage you find inside yourself. I don't find too much in me. We need partnerships to survive real temptation. Partnerships of Scripture, partnerships with each other. And so the partnership of Christ. And when we turn to these, we may find we are doing a good deal more than just surviving our temptations. We may find we are actually growing more free to do the right things, more free to be the people God has called us to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.